This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Alice Novich from Arlington, Texas. And you are listening to a special trail riding episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 19th, episode 1107. This episode is brought to you by the North American Trail Ride Conference National Convention on February 20th and 22nd, 2015, and Texas Hayness. Good morning, Horse World.
Thursday. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses, but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here, and I know that most of the country is now frozen, snowed in, and just covered in ice. But we'll hopefully talking about a little trail riding today will give you something to look forward to for when, in, I don't know, a month or two, everything thaws, and you can actually get it back out in the trails again. And there are people still riding in the country. Most of them are in the South, and Alice is one of them. Hello, Alice.
Hi, Glenn. How are you today?
Good. And, of course, Alice is with the NATRC, the North America Trail Ride Conference. And Alice is always with us the third Thursday of every month. And Alice lives in Texas, so things aren't quite as bad down there as they are in other parts of the country right now. It does get cold in Texas, but usually don't have, 6 feet of snow. That's not something you usually get down there. And you actually started your season. And tell us where you are.
I am at Perry Haynes Ranch in Killeen, Texas, where over the weekend we had a Texas Trail Challenge, which is a trail obstacle competition. And as I was leaving on Sunday night, I had a flat tire because I'm a rookie at pulling an extra long gooseneck trailer, and I didn't turn wide enough, and I stabbed one of my tires. And so I ended up having to stay over until I could get new tires.
You know what? You did good, because if all you do is stab one of your tires when you're making a turn into one of these farms and you don't take out their entire gate as a rookie, that's good.
Yeah, except that when I came back around the park to stay the night, I didn't turn wide enough again, and now I've damaged my new awning.
Oh, no. Okay, that's a rookie mistake. That's sort of like when you have your 16-year-old has his first accident. You really want it to be, a fender bender or something and not total the whole car. Yeah, sort of like that.
Yeah. And the awning already had to be replaced. The fabric was already torn. I bought the trailer that way. I've only had this trailer about 3 weeks because, as you guys recall, last month I camped out in a really cold, wet, cold ride, and I decided never again. And so I got busy and I shopped, and I found myself a gooseneck trailer that already had a finished area to sleep in. It's not a living quarters, but it's insulated and it has electricity. It's wired. And so I'm sitting here with my little heater and my little coffee pot, and it was quite comfortable. So I was very grateful that if I was going to do this, I did it when I had this trailer to sleep in, because I'd have been really cold last night in my other trailer.
Well, we're going to talk about why exactly you are still there and what mistakes you made in packing this time, and why you were not able to leave the show with your flat tire. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we have a lot coming up for you today. Today we're going to talk about Pilates. Now, that's something I can say I've never tried.
Yes, Pilates kind of go along with yoga. They're really good about working on the core. We have a guest that will talk about how it will improve our riding capabilities.
Debbie Sharp's her name. And then coming up later in the show, and I have a bunch of questions for this lady because I saw this advertised before, and I've seen it at a trade show, and that's the Texas Haynet. And I want to ask her some questions because when I saw it, I had some questions, and I thought, you know, I'm not sure about this or that. So hopefully she can answer those that I have. And that's Leslie Walker David. That's her name, right? Leslie Walker David from Texas Haynet. Yep. So we'll talk about that. That's the big hay net you put over your round bale, right?
Yeah. Okay. Big hay net you put over your round bale.
Okay, good. Because I want to talk to her about that. I have questions. So we'll get to that. And a lot of people use round bales, and especially in this type of weather, round bales really come in handy if your horses are out at all. If you have a lot of snow and that kind of thing, it's nice to put the round bale out. But there's problems with round bales, too. So we'll get into all of that a little later in the show. Jennifer is off today. She is actually doing a different show this morning. So she's working on Horse Tip Daily this morning and had some recordings to do over there. So we gave her the morning off. She doesn't often get the day off, but we wanted to do that. And, of course, Jamie will be back tomorrow for Horses in the Morning. It's Friday, so it's really bad ads day. Well, before we get started into the show today, you had a daily Winnie, so let's do that.
When I got stranded here last night, I was in the driveway leaving Perry Haynes, and a really nice young gentleman named Aaron Hauser from Fort Hood in Killeen, he is a sergeant first class and a medic, active military, came to my rescue, and he had many of the tools that I should have had, and he changed my tire and helped me bend the fender back so it wouldn't flatten the tire again, and helped me get back into camp. And then later in the evening when my dog ran off, he caught my dog and brought my dog back to me, and he sold me a bale of hay. So my life would have been a lot more unhappy without Aaron. I just wanted to say thank you.
Are you sure you just didn't want a hot serviceman helping you out last night?
I'm sure. He's married. That would be awkward.
Okay. Just checking.
And we see Aaron quite a bit socially, so that would be, you know, out here at Perry Haynes, that would be very awkward.
Alice, you're a mess. So now, So first of all, before we get into why you're still stuck at the horse show when everybody else has left, I need to bring up that you can practice drive, you know, find a big parking lot, and you really need to practice driving this thing, and also maybe backing up would be good.
Actually, backing up is the best thing I do.
It's that going forward thing that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually learned that I can turn this thing around in a really small space.
That is one advantage to goosenecks. That is one advantage to gooseneck, yeah.
I drove it home from Waco about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't have any trouble. I drove it somewhere last weekend, and, you know, I had a couple of reminding to myself to look at the lower mirrors, but no trouble. And I just didn't swing wide enough leaving. And then I think I just got so frazzled that I kept making more mistakes.
Yeah, that happens too.
I was just so embarrassed and I was tired and I really wanted to go home. But also I had told my daughter before this happened, the truck wouldn't start. And I didn't have my jumper cables because they got removed from the trailer when I switched trailers and I hadn't gotten them back in. And somebody else gave me a jump start, and I told my friend and my daughter, I said, I just kind of feel like God doesn't want me to go home yet. I just feel like I'm not supposed to leave tonight. And they were like, oh, don't be silly. And my daughter had to work today. She had to go home. And but my friend drove separately, and so we got out of the gate, and then I flattened the tire. And it was 5 o'clock on Sunday, and I was just like, I am not going anywhere. So I told you God told me to stay here.
And of course we're recording this on Monday because you're going to be heading off to the national convention for the NATRC. It's your first time as a board member.
Yes, it is. We have our national convention on Thursday. And if anybody is interested in learning more about NATRC, the convention itself is Friday and Saturday, and they can still sign up. Registration, I believe, starts Thursday or Friday morning at the latest. They can check the details out on the natrc.org website.
And where is it?
And we'd love to have people. It's in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
At Crown Center, or the Holiday Inn Crown Center.
They had a little
I
think they had a little snow there, too, earlier in the week. So
it's on the plaza. It's down on the plaza.
Yes, which I think we talked about that the last time. And all the details are on the website there. So this will be your first time as a board member. So that's congratulations.
Thank you.
That'll be fun.
I'm pretty excited. I have no idea what it's going to be like.
A lot of sitting around deciding to talk about things. Every board I was ever on, we basically accomplished not much except deciding to talk about things and then come back later and talk about it some more. So, and then every once in a while you vote on something.
When I was a little girl, my father was a retired banker, and I remember him saying, "I'll be late today because I have a board meeting." And I can remember asking him if that's where you went to be bored.
That works too. That works too.
And he'd chuckle and say, "Sometimes."
Sometimes, that's right. That's why I don't get asked to be on boards anymore, because I cause too much trouble and I don't like wasting time. So I get my ADD kicks in, and then, you know, it's not good.
Yeah.
They kick me out.
I'm a little worried about that. I'm wondering if they'll let me crochet while I'm in the board meeting. ADD.
Well, now let's get back to you being stuck there. So you had your jack and you had your little ramp thing, and you should have been able to just to change the tire, right?
A year ago.
Oh, you're killing me here. You've done this for years.
I know. A year ago, I had a flat tire on my old trailer, and I didn't have any of those things. And so I immediately went and bought a ramp. So I have a trailer aid. But somehow I never actually bought a jack. I don't know why. It was on my to-do list for a long time, and it just never happened. But the trailer aid is in my feed trailer. And I thought Maggie had grabbed it, and she didn't remember me asking her to grab it. And so, you know.
Well, now, that let's be honest, that wouldn't have helped you much without the lug wrench. So
that's true. And I do have, I do have roadside assistance. I have U.S. Rider. So, you know, if I hadn't had someone who could help me, I would have called U.S. Rider and we would have gotten the tire changed. But Aaron was right there, so it was much quicker than waiting for U.S. Rider.
Well, so now is
that
was in your old trailer. Now, what have we talked about on this show before? We've talked about making lists, right? And making sure before you leave home that everything's in the list. And one of those lists should be a trailer list of everything that's supposed to be in the trailer, first aid kit and all of that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and part of it is that when we cleaned out the old trailer, we sold it so quickly. Like, I had it up for sale for several weeks and we moved things out slowly. And then all of a sudden someone was ready to buy it. And so we just started throwing things out of it into our feed shed. And there's stuff on top of stuff. And my daughter says I have a problem with taking too many things with me. And so some of the things I want are under some of the things she doesn't want me to take. And so and then, like, the weather would be nice on the days I'd have to work. And then I'd be in a hurry to leave. And there's no excuse. I need a day to sit down and pull all the stuff out. Get all the things I really need, and then I won't have this problem ever again.
It's probably a wise idea. So So your tip is make sure you have your trailer aid and your lug wrench.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to make sure that your nuts on your wheels are not so tight that you can't get them off yourself.
Yeah. That happens.
That wasn't a problem today, but I've had that happen before.
Yeah. And
had tools, I couldn't get them left off.
Well, especially if they're put on by the guy with the air ratchet wrench.
Right.
You know, because then it tends to put them on really tight, and it is really hard to get those off, even of your car when after they've done that. That's tough sometimes. I got you. I'm with you there. You know, we should have a list, and all of us say we do, and we probably do somewhere, and then we forget to check it, and then you forget to do that, and we've all ended up, we've had times when our wheel has fallen, the entire wheel has come off, sheared an axle, and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's not much you can do about those things, but except make sure your bearings are packed. That's a good thing.
Right. Well, the positive thought in this whole thing is that I have in my new trailer this cute little pantry cabinet. And so I had food.
There you go.
Beans, and I had...
You didn't forget to pack that.
No, exactly. So I had plenty of food, and I had my space heater, and I have power, and you know, all the things I wouldn't have had in my other trailer if it could happen. You know, it could be a whole lot worse.
Well, I'm glad that you're safe. That's the important thing. You didn't totally demolish the trailer or the farm, so that's the other good thing. I've seen people take out the whole gate. So you did good. You did good there. And the thing is, they don't stop. Once they start taking it out, they look back, and for some reason, your mind doesn't wrap around it, and they keep going. I've seen that happen several times too. I'm not quite sure why, but. But everybody's safe. Nobody got hurt. It was a good trail ride, and all's good there. Well, and there's a lot of people in the country right now. They're going, I can't believe they're riding their horses. Well, that's what happens when you live in Texas.
The weather was beautiful this weekend.
They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, sorry. It's cold and nasty now. It started raining about an hour ago, and it's right just above freezing, and my poor horses are standing out there in pens asking why they're still here.
Poor horses. Well, let's continue with the show so you can get on and get your tires and things. We have coming up as our first guest. Why don't you tell us who we got?
Our first guest is Debbie Sharp. She has been a fitness professional for over 35 years and has owned her own Pilates studio and has done video and print. She decided to focus on Pilates use in whatever she was doing, like with horseback riding, or look at how Pilates can affect sports, and began that about 13 years ago. And since 2008, she has been giving her mat-to-saddle Pilates clinics that teach strength, balance, and feel to give the rider a better seat, fluidity, suppleness, and the ability to enhance communication with their horse. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you do and about how Pilates can help us as riders.
Okay. It's a subject I'm well-versed on and very passionate about. When I think about Pilates and I think about riding, they end up being pretty much the same thing. For example, my clinics are named Strength, Balance, and Feel. And if you put that in a triangle, two of them are associated with the other one and vice versa. You need balance and feel to have strength. You need feel to have strength and balance. And all of that ties in, and Pilates does that. And everything I teach in Pilates is what our horses have or want from us. So it's perfect. They want us to be present. We need to be present for them in their movement, in their bodies. You know, they're reading our body language all the time. And if we are clearer in our body language and signals, then that helps them, whether it's on the ground or in the saddle. Pilates requires you to be present and in your body, because you're not just using the big global muscles, the muscles that you can look in the mirror and see. You're using the intrinsic muscle system, which are the deepest muscles in the body. And those are the muscles that create efficiency and ease of movement and suppleness.
Debbie, fluidity. Before you go on, can I ask you, for those of us that are lazy bums like me, what exactly is Pilates? I've heard of Pilates, and I've heard people talk about Pilates, but what exactly do you do? What exactly is it?
Okay. Pilates was created by Joseph Pilates back in the 20s. At the time, it was called Contrology, and he was brilliant way before his time. Pilates is about looking at efficient movement, and he created quite a series of movements and quite a series of equipment to enhance and teach that. Pilates is about moving the body with efficiency, which means that, some of my advanced athletes come in and will leave sweating profusely, but go, what's next? Rather than when you go in the gym and you focus on the big global muscles, the muscles you can see, and in fact are predatory muscles is what they are when you were in the horse world, then you end up being quite fatigued because you're overusing. So Pilates is about precision, efficiency, learning how to move with your core, moving from your core or with your core rather than moving with a bracy or stiff back. Does that help a little bit?
And it's similar to, I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, it's similar to yoga. If we were to look at it, it would kind of remind us of yoga.
Yeah, you're getting in trouble for that.
Okay, see? I knew I would.
It is.
But it's been compared. I've seen it compared to yoga, and that's why I brought that up.
Right.
Yeah.
What I like to tell people in a very short layman's version is, if you are looking for more lengthening, do yoga. Pilates is sort of the athlete's version of yoga if you wanted to compare them. I'm doing that against all of my nature to do that. But
kind of makes sense, though. I mean, the way you...
Okay. So that's the difference. In Pilates, we learn how not only to execute a movement, but we learn why and how.
Got it. All right, you can continue now. I think that helps.
Okay, good. Yes, it's, you know, I live this, so sometimes I don't quite give as much of an explanation to the rest of the world that doesn't. But so what I can focus on a little bit here is what the components of Pilates do for rider fitness. And it actually starts at the bottom of your body, in the feet. Pilates is done barefoot. There are, 26 bones, 33 joints, 107 ligaments, and 19 muscles in each foot. Joseph Pilates believed that if you don't have your feet, you don't have anything. And we ride in boots, we walk around in high heels, we do everything but walk around all the time barefoot. So foot and ankle strengthening is really quite important. If you've ever ridden for a couple hours out on the trail and you get off and your ankles are hurting, they're sore, you don't quite feel stable in the saddle if you're posting, that's ankle strength that you need. So we work on ankle strength, and on my website, I posted several short workouts, 7-8 minute workouts, that you can go to and just pull up on YouTube, and it'll give you this sweet little workout. Very effective. So ankle strength, very important to riding. If you move up the body a little bit, we have hip flexors. If you work in an office and sitting a lot, driving in your car a lot, whatever you're doing a lot, even running can tighten up the hip flexor, specifically the psoas muscle, which is the only muscle in the body that connects the spine directly to the leg and bypasses the pelvis. Hence, you can see if a psoas muscle is too lax or too tight, it affects your low back. So a lot of times people spend so much time stretching it, they don't see if it's active. The psoas muscle is very important in posting because it actually helps lift you and lower you and keep your pelvis in neutral, keep your spine in neutral. So that's an important part of the body to focus on. Then we come to your core. Now, core has become the buzzword for ab classes everywhere. And ab classes are not necessarily core classes. Ab classes are usually focused on the rectus abdominis. It runs from your sternum to the pubic bone. It is a spinal flexor. It doesn't stabilize the pelvis. It doesn't hold in your guts. It doesn't give you a flat tummy. It is a flexor, just like the big muscles in your back. The spinal erectors are flexors and extensors for the spine. We have to go deeper. And the deepest abdominal muscle is the transversus. It girdles the lower part of your body, literally running horizontal, girdling it. That is the muscle that will support your back if you let it. So the core is a three-dimensional space in the body. The front of the core is the transversus muscle. The bottom of the core is the pelvic floor. Very overlooked. Thousands of pages have been written on it. People still don't understand it. I would love to give you a version of the simple version of what the pelvic floor is and does, but the bottom line is it's thousands of pages. It is a go seek and find contraction. At the bottom of the torso, there are four muscles that comprise the pelvic floor. They hold your guts in. Look up pelvic floor. Pilates training will give you that. Like I said, I don't want to get into it at length. We don't have hours. The top of the core is the bottom of the breathing diaphragm, which means your core requires breath. When you hold your breath in a wonderful little exercise, if everybody will just take a deep breath in right now and hold it as long as you can, what you'll start to feel is the back tightening up. It is the back's job to brace when your body stops breathing. So that's not going to work really well in the saddle, because the moment you start bracing and holding your breath, your horse is going to go, okay, if my leader up here is getting a little tense, then when am I going to die? So breathing and moving the diaphragm helps increase the intensity of the core. The back of the core, the back of the core is the little multifidus muscles. They run up and down your spine. They take care of themselves. Those are the least of our problems. So the core is most importantly in charge of pelvic stability. You can be much cut. Let me come back in there. You are much more stable if you have fluidity and suppleness rather than a rigidity and a brace. Your horse is better off that way. You're better off that way. And in truth, what I think about with rider fitness is what can I do to become more helpful to my horse, associate more into the movement of their body rather than fight with them all the time. And these are these are the quick versions of the importance of your body to help your horse and to be more in tune and to be a better rider and to everybody be happy. When you move up the body a little bit more, you get into the postural muscles, the rhomboid muscles, which sort of help the scapula or your shoulder blade stay back in control. And there's so much to it. And this is all involving the intrinsic muscle system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. It sounds complicated, though.
It's complicated until you start putting the puzzle pieces together and you see how really easy it is. Like I said, I wish there were some just really simple way to get everybody into their intrinsic muscle system, because that's sort of where your horses stay. They are efficient. You know, you watch them running across the pasture, they are efficient. They don't waste energy. Even when they're kicking up and, you know, bucking across the pasture because they're just all happy to be out again, they're still efficient in that movement. And we start to change their efficiency by our own imbalances. So to me, my job is to be the best body that I can be for my horse. And Pilates is just the best way I have found to do that.
So Debbie, with yoga, it tends to be a series of slow movements that it is not repetition like you would in a workout. Is Pilates have repetition to it for each one of these muscle groups, or is it kind of in between?
Pilates does have repetition.
Okay. You know what I was asking. I wasn't sure I was asking it right. So, yeah, okay.
Right. Because it is a workout.
Right.
And
it's actually a strengthening exercise also.
It is.
Yeah.
And in Pilates, we strengthen through lengthening. So the focus tends to be, rather than like in the gym, where your focus is shortening muscles, like a bicep curl,
right?
A concentric movement, which is shortening a muscle under load. Pilates focuses on lengthening a muscle under load, which is the eccentric contraction. And we're now finding that eccentric work is actually more beneficial to building strength and endurance.
Well, and I bet you've seen 90, you know, not, it's been in the past 99% women and 1% men. But I will say this, I've been talking to a lot more professional riders in eventing and dressage and jumping, who men and women are taking Pilates classes now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess it depends on where you are in the country. You go into the larger cities, you have a lot more men in the classes, and you have a lot more men teaching.
Right.
But, yeah, but the Pilates is really coming into the equestrian world. Well, it has been, but it's even becoming more so because people are understanding that the principles of Pilates are the principles of riding.
They're the same thing, yeah.
They're the same thing.
Well, this is fascinating. How do people get started? What do they do? What's the first thing? Are there beginners classes? Should they get tapes? You know, what do they do?
I don't recommend the videos for beginners because it really is, because it's your intrinsic work, you know, your intrinsic muscle system. People tend to just move like they do in the gym. And with a trainer or even in a class, you're going to get more attention and be taught how to find your core, how to move efficiently. Now then, a lot of mat classes are all over the place, and that's certainly the less expensive way to go, but it's also the hardest thing you can do. The equipment work is actually easier in that it gives you some help with movement. There are equipment classes, and then, of course, I'm just a real advocate of, if you can, get a private training, get a trainer for a private sessions for a few of them until you really learn where the depth of this work is. And then, yes, you can do the videos. Yes, you can do the mat classes and all sorts of things. And then of course, there are clinics for equestrians all around, and that's part of what I do with mat to saddle, which is sort of like your Pilates mat to get in the saddle.
You know, and to be honest, and if we're all honest, it is very difficult. There's a very small percentage of the population that have the wherewithal and the fortitude to do the videos for more than two or three times, and then they quit. At least going to the classes and going someplace to do it, and if you're with other people or not, it forces you to do it. And I think that's, you know, that self-discipline is tough.
It's called accountability, and it's very tough.
It is tough. And, you know, if we're honest, you know, we all like to think that we could get a video and we could do it day after day after day after day for weeks and months on end, and, you know, and that would be great. And there are some people that can do that, but you know, the percentage is better than me. It can't be 5%. Exactly.
And, you know, that's why Craigslist and eBay is full of videos and equipment and everything else.
Exactly. those treadmills that we use three times and then it sits there. And you throw your clothes all over it from the bedroom. And that's where your
exactly.
dirty clothes sit, is on the treadmill. I bet you more treadmills hold dirty clothes than human bodies.
I would not doubt that.
Yeah, I would too. Well, where can people find you?
They can find me online at mattosaddle.com or thepilatesbodyloss.com. If you can get to either of those, there are links to the other one. Mat to Saddle is where I talk about rider fitness and my clinics. I travel all over doing my clinics and would be glad to go to Barnes to help people. But and so that's where you can find me. Phone numbers, et cetera, emails, et cetera, are both there.
Very good. And the website again is mat2tosaddle.com. Very simple and easy to remember. We'll post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and also in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. Thank you so much, Debbie Sharp.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Well, coming up next, we're going to have our song for you, and then we're going to come back with Leslie Walker David of Texas Haynet. We're going to talk about round bales and some of the things that happens with those, and we've all had experience with those. Anybody who's used a round bale knows the pitfalls of round bales and knows the advantages, too. So we're going to talk about a solution that might help with that. But first, let's take a listen to our song. We'll be right back. Thank you.
name is Bobby Adair. Listen to my tale. It ain't much of a story, so you better listen well. In southeast Oklahoma, when I was but a boy, I ran many a match race and I never wanted more. Believe that I could ride anything with hair. Then one California morning I found myself there at Los Alamitos Race Course in 1962. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. You ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. Dial was 10 to 1 in 64 on May the 9th. We were 25 large richer when she crossed the finish line. Night of races at Bay Meadows, 68 to 73. There never was a jockey who had won as much as me. We were back at Alamitos in May of 84. Thick fog down the straightaway, mud on the racetrack floor. John Critter on face in the crowd, turn left in front of me. And the bottom side of running hooves was all that I could see. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. Crush my foot and ankle, my shoulder and my face. But my longing for the racetrack no surgery could replace. So as a 20-year outrider, I'll finally retire from the course at Alamitos, the place I first caught fire. When the years have passed right through me, I'll never be the same. And the changing times in politics, Lord, we ought to be ashamed. For we're short of field and horses, Midwest jockeys, they're all through. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. You ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle.
Well, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. It is NATRC Day on Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here, and I am with Alice Jovich. And Alice is in her trailer, actually, having just got done a ride. We're pre-recording this on Monday because Alice will be at the National Convention for the NATRC on as this goes up on Thursday. She'll be there doing her thing. So we are pre-recording this. Remember that tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, we'll be back. And we have a special fill-in co-host, Wendy Ying. Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show will be filling in for Jamie. She's heading off to a sale. She's going to an auction, a Mustang auction up there in Nevada. She's talked about it on the show. She's going up there to maybe get herself an eventing Mustang. So she's going to adopt one up there and hopefully come home with one. I know a lot of you on Facebook were helping her to pick out which one she should get. And of course, these are ones that are trained by the prisoners up there in Nevada. So we wish her the best of luck with that. But Dr. Wendy Ying will be filling in tomorrow. It is the day for really bad ads. So get your really bad ads in today. Hop over to Craigslist to the farm section. Find some really bad horse or farm-related ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. Just don't send a link, because by the time Jennifer gets to it, it's usually dead. So copy and paste the entire thing, pictures and all, into the email. And send it off to Jennifer, and you have a chance of winning some terrific prizes. One of them is an EquityMFG.com manure fork, either the flexin' fork or the shakin' fork. We're giving those away all year long. And coming up now, we have our next guest, Leslie Walker Davis of Texas Haynet. Well, hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. Now, I saw your product for the first time at the trade show here about a year ago, I guess. And I don't know that we had a whole lot of time to talk there. So I was kind of glad when Alice got you on today. You know, let's first talk about round bales. All of us have had experience with round bales in one form or another in the dry, beautiful summertime, and then also in the horrible weather we're having right now. Around the country. So
right.
Let's talk a little bit about the negatives of round bales. We all kind of know what the positives are. You don't have to deliver hay as much. They get free feeding of hay, which is what they should have with a round bale. They should be able to eat all the time, whereas if we feed them out of the square bales, we tend to not give them as much, and they run out of hay, and they're spending parts of the day without hay.
Right.
Am I good so far?
You are.
Okay.
In fact, they found if a horse goes any longer than 6 hours at a time without forage in their stomach, oftentimes if that happens repeatedly, it can build up enough acid to create ulcers and other problems. So, yeah, round bale feeding is always preferable.
And then that leads to the people who have done round bales and who really get pissed off, because these are the problems with it. One is our horses tend to take it and spread it out and sleep on it.
Right.
They'll eat it out of the middle. For some reason, the middle is always better. And then the outsides tend to go uneaten. So there is some waste around bales, especially if they're just plunked out in the middle of a field. And you know, most of the round bales I've ever seen are plunked out in the middle field. I'd say it's a minority of people who actually have the rings that you put the round bales in that tend to contain it a bit.
Right.
So there's problems, and then people see it all going to waste, and then they go, well, I'm not doing that anymore. At least they eat the square bales. And so there's where you get into problems with round bales. But you've come up with a solution to that, spread it out and waste half the bale.
Right. Well, the slow feeding, I didn't invent slow feeding. We, as a horse community, all of us rehab facilities, we were all in touch with each other trying to figure this slow feeding out, and people used grids. We all were making our own, punching holes in plastic barrels. We tried all kinds of stuff. The netting seemed to be the easiest and most efficient, and you can try all kinds of sports netting. I mean, tennis nets and soccer nets, and they're quite expensive when you get into the athletic netting. But that's really, it's really kind of a cross between a fishing net and a sports net. But that's what seemed to be the most economical way to create slow feeding. And the scientists that have studied slow feeding have coined it. Slow feeding is any feeding hay, cut grass hay, through a 2-inch or less hole creates a slow feeder. So that's the premise I went from, because my background was having a rehab facility and we specialized in hoof rehab. So I needed some way to control the intake of the foundered horses that came in.
Oh, so
and
they weren't just gorging themselves.
Slow feeding fit for that. Yeah, slow feeding fit. So that's the reason I got involved in slow feeding nets. Now,
this is to describe it for people. This is a great big net, like a hay net, that fits over a round bale. So what they have to do, just like with their hay net hanging in their stall, they get these little 2-inch holes, and they have to eat out. It slows them down, and it saves on the waste. There's about 100% less waste than there is.
Yeah, there just isn't any waste.
Yeah.
But what I did discover, I mean, I did it because I had a lot of foundered horses, and I was tired of soaking hay and putting it in the square bale feeders, you know, getting all the sugar out. And then finally the horse community, found out we didn't have to soak hay anymore.
Yeah,
because they ate so much slower, it gave the body time to ferment and disperse the nutrients as well as the sugars and starches and the bad stuff. I mean, we have great hay. We humans have created these wonderful fields of hay, but the problem is there's a lot of nitrates because of the fertilizers and etc. So it's a little bit hard when the horse can just gorge on free choice hay. They eat it too fast, too big a bite. It goes through the horse so fast. The scientists have found that a horse eating grass out in a pasture, it takes about 28 to 34 hours to process a bite of grass. And then when we went to feeding cut grass to the horses, the hay, it still had all its nutrients and still had a lot of probiotics. It was great stuff. I mean, what a convenience. But the horses, for some reason, take way too big a bite because we have, again, the best hay. There's no sticks. There's no stones. There's no weeds. They don't have to pick and choose each blade of grass with their lips and their whiskers. They just dive in. And when they do that, they take a great big bite, and it's what just exactly what you said. It spreads it everywhere, but it also crams too much in their mouth. If you've ever taken too big a bite and you're out at a restaurant and you don't know what to do, you can't spit it out, right? A steak was really good. Anyway, you take too big a bite and you can't chew it well, and you tend to swallow it.
Yep.
Well, that's
my pony. You just described my Hackney pony.
Yeah, and they never leave the hay because the hay is going through them too fast. Like if you and I went out to a buffet and overate and our stomach was getting ready to burst, we would be throwing up. That's our human way of protecting our stomach. The horse doesn't have that alternative, but they have the very much similar reflex with the sphincter muscles at the end of the stomach. It dumps it into the hindgut, the larger part of the intestine, the cecum, and that's the way it keeps moving to protect the stomach so it doesn't explode, because they're eating too fast, too big bites, they're not chewing it well. So consequently, it moves through the system too fast, and the horse hasn't stopped eating. It's still eating. So it's continually pushing through, and the horse is frantically eating. And some horses more than others. And the scientists say that their trigger for survival in their brain is telling them, buddy, you're not getting enough to eat. Eat more. Because they're not getting all the nutrients. So the brain's saying, buddy, you're starving. Eat more. And they do. Are our horses starving? No, they're not. They go out and cut cattle and jump jumps and races. They do everything we ask on free choice hay. That's really not the problem. The problem is they're not getting all the trace minerals and some of the enzymes and the small molecules that need longer to ferment in the colon area.
Okay.
So the brain is getting the wrong message. So when they're frantically eating, that's the big bites. That's pulling it out and it's throwing it everywhere, and they never leave the hay. They pee there, they poop there.
Exactly.
You know, they socialize there.
As a horse husband, that's the thing that pisses us off the most, is they're peeing and pooping on the hay I just bought.
Well, and the cost of hay right now,
it's not cheap.
Just
not
skyrocket.
Cheap.
All right, so the hay net doesn't just benefit the horse, it also benefits the owner by making the hay bale last a lot longer.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, if the hay bale lasts a lot longer, you don't have to go out in that blizzard that's happening right now and replace the hay bale because it's going to last twice as long.
How hard is it to get the hay bale delivered? And let's say, and this works whether you have a ring or not, right? It doesn't matter. Okay.
If your horses are barefoot, it doesn't matter. But
okay.
You cannot feed round bale hay with a hay net with no ring if you have shoes.
Oh, that's a good thing to know.
Shoe will catch, and our little FAQ sheet will tell you that.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Must have a barrier.
Okay.
And a lot of these feeders are to the ground, So. And you can build a box. I mean, anybody can build a box.
I wrapped one bale up one time in a, it's not one of Leslie's nets. Somebody gave me an old soccer net, and I was just playing with it. And I had a horse that never wore shoes, but had shoes temporarily. And it was the day before he was going to get his shoes off, and he got caught in the net. And he let me cut him loose. It was not a big deal, but that could have been ugly.
It could be a train wreck, and so I would just die if somebody's horse got hurt because
now,
I
got the bale delivered. Let's say it's in a ring. What do I do then? How do I put it
on? Well, I take the ring. I don't put the ring on the bale yet. I lift the ring up, and it's easier, especially if you're just one person, to throw it over without the ring because you can walk around closer to the bale.
Okay.
Now, my nets have a thin colored string that one goes north and south, and the other one goes east and west, because I'm a short person, and I can't see over the bale at all, so I don't know where the other side is. So I put those cross pieces so I could find the center of the bale to go on the top of the hay. Otherwise, you're adjusting it on these big 6-foot by 6-foot bales.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is about the largest bale that our American baling machines can make. But this net goes to the ground. When you buy one of my Texas hay nets, it's an 18-foot net. It's the largest one on the market right now, as far as I know. But anyway, it goes from ground to ground, from one side to the other side.
Is there a drawstring at the bottom or something that tightens it to the bottom of the...
There is. There is. And we keep it loose. When you order one, the drawstring is not installed, and it's not installed for a reason. Well, the main reason is that you might want to use it on one of these big square bales, like a 3x3 or a 4x4x8, one of these big square bales. And when you do that, you want to set the square bale in the center of the net and tie it up at the top. And you need to have that drawstring more adaptable to go into a smaller pattern. So anyway, we leave it straight. But for the typical round bale, you throw it over the round bale with the roundy part of the bale upright because it sheds the water. We all know that. It will fit either way, but that's the easier way. And it will fall easier and more evenly around that.
As far as I understood, that's the only way you could put the round bale was with the round part up.
That's the best way. Some people put it flat if they have a shelter.
Otherwise, it just becomes a big sponge.
Well, it is, but some people can only roll it up to their area and then tip it over. So some people will use it flat, but not many. The roundy side up sheds the water, and that's the way you install it for most people. Throw the net over.
Or the snow, or the ice, or...
What?
Or the snow, or the ice, or the freezing rain. Or
I know. I mean, right now, everybody up north is really in... Of course, a lot of the Midwest was in a drought last year, so that, too, comes into play. But if you don't have the waste, and the round bale adds another level of difficulty for a slow feeder, you don't save any money slow feeding on a square, on flake. On these slow feeders.
No,
it does make them last longer. Like the 12 pounds you give your horse in the morning won't be gone in an hour and a half. It'll be gone in 4 hours, 5 hours.
And you've solved a problem too, because the reason that most people don't you know, that the reason that most people do that type of feeding where they give them large chunks is because they're at work, they don't have time to go out and, you know, give them a half a flake of hay every hour all day long. They just don't have the time to do that. So, you know, thus came the round bales or the constant feeding methods that you see out there that are thousands of dollars. So what does this run? What's a hay net run?
Well, the hay nets right now are $195.
Well, and you'll save that in two round bales.
Well, depending what part of the country, you might save it in one.
One, yeah, right now, exactly.
Anyway, yes, because if you put out, let's say you have five horses, and you're going through a bale of hay every week to 10 days. Let's say 10 days. Let's say it's a really tightly wound round bale, and it's not as sweet as the summer round bale. You know, there's a lot of variables. But how tight it's wound is one of the variables, other than how sweet the hay is, as to how quickly the horse eats it. But let's say everything's the same. You get all these round bales delivered, and they're all the same field, and the same quality hay, same bound as tightly as the next one. So you put one out, and the horse goes through it in 10 days. Well, 20 to 30% minimum is going to end up on the ground, and that's what gets soiled. And then they eat it too fast, so their system isn't getting all the nutrients from the hay. So there's a lot of problems, and it's gone in 10 days. You put a hay net on it that's a slow feeder, that's 2 inches or less, and I would not recommend much smaller hole on a round bale because of the way the round bale machine makes the bale. It's a very tight weave. And it's very difficult for a horse to pull it out. You can pull out hay out of a square bale much easier. And it's really the baling machine, and I won't go into that, but the fact is that the square bales are looser hay, round bales are tighter. So when you put the slow feeder on, and the horses will learn how to eat out of it. At first, if they've never eaten out of a slow feeder net with square bales, and now you put it on a round bale, and they've always had free choice, they think that you're going to starve them to death. They immediately hate you. But they can see their hay. They just can't figure out how to get it. And they will try to attack the net. I've had horses climb into the feeder to get to the hay to try to figure it out. But if you were just be patient and take some time, and this is in our FAQ information, to pull some hay through. If you get one horse started on a slow feeder, whether it's square bale or round bale, with their first learning, if you get them started and pull some hay through, it just takes them a short time to figure it out. If one horse figures it out, the others will watch and learn. And you will save your hay net from being mauled to death. Because any horse can bite into any kind of fabric. If you've ever pulled into the field and left the window down on your truck, you'll know that. They'll take the dash out. Their teeth are very sharp, so you don't want them to bite the net.
Well, I had a horse at my place that was sure she was going to starve, and she made it her mission to destroy the net rather than just eating the hay.
Right, and this is one of the things, Alice, that we learned. Yeah, being in the business now, our customers tell us things, and one thing we learned is that you have to give them a little bit of a chance to learn how to do this. And a lot of people want to cinch that net down really, really tight so it's snug against the hay. And that's really not the best way to install it. Install it as loosely as you can so the horse can take its lips and move the netting, that little hole, when he finds it, he can move it up and down, left and right, to find the end of the stem or the leaf of the grass. When he can find that stem, he can pull it through easier. And so that's part of the information that you need to give the horse too, is allow him to move that net around till he finds that he can make his lips go in that little hole and teeth and pull out just the hay through the hole. So pull some out, give them the loosest bale you can find, but give them a chance to learn how to eat out of it, and you will save your net. So this is important. But the nets are so important for the horse as well as the owner. It is a win-win.
Leslie, the website is texashaynet.com. That's easy to spell, texashaynet.com. You can order them right on there.
Right, and you can abbreviate Texas. It's TX. Haynet.com, or you can spell it out, TEXASHaynet.com.
Well, coming up next is the NATRC ride calendar, and this will be for the month of March. And again, there's a lot of people in the north. Please forgive us. We have to go over those people in the south that it can actually ride. So go ahead, Alice.
Well, you know, come to think of it, all the rides in March are in the south. Or
yeah, no kidding.
our next ride of the ride year is March 7th and 8th. It's called the Louisiana Purchase at the Kasachi National Forest in Louisiana. There's a ride March 14th and 15th in Arizona at McDowell Mountain Park in Phoenix. I bet Phoenix is probably lovely this time of year. Sounds like a good place to be today. March 14th and 15th is also a ride in Florida at Spanish Trail. It's called the Spanish Trail Ride. It's at the Blackwater River State Forest. That's close to you, Glenn. You should pop over there and check it out. And then March 21st and 22nd, there is a ride in Georgia. It's the Region 5 Benefit Ride at Toomsboro, Georgia. Not sure where that is, but then there's a couple weeks off, and then the rides really get busy starting in April.
Sounds good. And where can they find more information?
They can find information about the ride calendar or all things NATRC at natrc.org. And there's information on the website about the convention, which starts on Friday in Kansas.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And as always, you are here the third Thursday of every month. You can go back and listen to past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. Also, the easiest way to listen to our shows is on the app. Just go to the iOS or Android app store and search for Horse Radio Network. Horses in the Morning is one of the 8 shows that you can listen to very simply and easily and freely on the Horse Radio Network app. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget to get your ads in for really bad ads tomorrow. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You have till today to do it. Big prizes, always on Fridays, brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Thank you, Alice.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And good luck getting the heck out of your camping area there.
Taking off any of the parts of my trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Read your list next time, okay? Check the list.
I promise.
Check everything. Okay, good. See you, Alice. Have a good time at the meeting.